Double Game Week 35 is almost complete. We discuss Sam and Jules getting jammy again, my lack of Arsenal on my wildcard, what to do about injuries, and is it time to treble up on City if we aren't already? So Game Week 35 is still taking place. Chelsea versus Spurs still to come at the time of recording. But FPL Pod, as always, here for you on a Thursday. Kelly Summers, I'm a bit bunged up. I realise I sound like I'm underwater. Sorry about that, guys, if you've got this turned up loudly. Alongside Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield. Jules just about made it back from your Champions guys. League exertions again.
That's right, from Dortmund via Dusseldorf very early this morning. I was a little bit on time for you girls. You had to wait for me. But here we are. We're all here. Perfect.
Sam, a little bit on time. Would you agree with that?
I think you're about 20 minutes late, Jules. 20 minutes. You're not supposed to keep ladies waiting.
No,
you know
but from
that.
Paris, you know, this is pretty much on time.
All I'm going to say, Jules, is you better be worth the wait. How's your game week gone so far?
Not too bad, actually. I took a -4 because I got rid of the two Liverpool players. We mentioned them a lot last week, Mo Salah and Darwin Nunez, to bring Alexander Isak and Heung-Min Son. So both of them returned. That was great. I decided to captain Cole Palmer. So really, Thursday night's decider between Chelsea and Spurs will show us if you were right to captain Palmer or if Son would have been better. Obviously, Son already scoring, Palmer not. And overall, I had Foden starting and Saka on the bench, and Foden didn't play, so Saka is going to come in, which is great because he had a good game. I was a bit disappointed defensively from an Arsenal point of view. Sorry, Sam, but at 3-0 up, I thought they would see the game out and control that second half against Tottenham, but David Raya decided otherwise. So it's 1 point for Saliba and 1 point for White. But overall, 59 so far, with still Son and Palmer to face each other. It's pretty good.
I was like, where have you got 59 from? You two jammy pair, Saka first sub coming off your bench. I'm saying that as someone who did wildcard. I'll run through my team in just a moment because a lot of people tweeted me asking to see it and I didn't quite have the guts to reveal it, but I will on this podcast. I did sell Saka. I nearly went for Havertz. I'm not going to lie. I was never going to keep Saka. I nearly went for Havertz, but I went for the midfield that everyone, I think, went for on midfield, on wildcard, sorry. But Sam, you got lucky as well because you've got those Saka points coming on. And admit, you're better than Jules. I know you'll admit you got a bit lucky.
Oh, 100%. Pure, absolute jam. At half time of that game, obviously, I was at Spurs at the weekend and I sat there and I was like, I've had a nightmare here because not only are my team losing 3-0, but I've benched. I had all three of my Arsenal assets on the bench in Saka, Saliba and Gabriel and was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster. So when Foden was ill, I was like, oh, I've kind of got away with one. Although having taken a -4 to bring Foden in, that was not an ideal circumstance to have that jam come from. Made worse by the fact that I also took another -4 because I didn't think Livramento was going to play to bring in Cher, who then went off injured. So now I'll probably have to take another -4 ahead of the bench boost in 37. But nonetheless, it's still a green arrow so far because I captained Son this week. We'll see how far that sticks tonight. I've got enough Chelsea and Spurs players that I think it will probably cover out. And I mean, look, they've both got so many injury concerns going into the Thursday evening game that anything could happen in this one, really. We'll see how it ends up. But so far, a nice big green arrow with a lot of luck and Saka coming off the bench.
So you both took minuses this week. As Sam mentioned there, she took a -8, which kind of worked but kind of didn't, given the fact that Cher went off injured. But we'll gloss over that. Not having too much luck with the Arsenal defence, are you, Sam? Three players still to play. Jules also took a -4, but it paid off. Isak and Son coming in. Son and Palmer still to play today. So my wild card then, honestly, I tweeted it, I hate the last hour of the deadline. And one thing I also realised, and I imagine listeners who wildcarded, by the way, there was a lot of wildcards in the end. I think it was over 150,000 in the end, Sam?
Yeah, but weirdly, Kelly, that's still, I think, the third lowest.
Since, but it went up quite a bit by the deadline, didn't it? We weren't expecting it to go up that much, I don't think. Like, obviously, there was a few panic wildcards. Maybe after they listened to us, I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, I think it did go up quite a bit. I think it was over 50,000 in the final day, which is quite a bit.
Yeah, I was quite late activating mine. I went for Petrovic and Pickford as my two goalkeepers. Delighted I put Pickford.
Same as mine.
On the bench. Oh, yeah, I actually didn't
sure
do that on purpose.
I'm not sure that's a good thing for you, Kelly, but anyway.
Yeah, actually, why on earth was
she's
that?
Just trying to is this her trying to block me again, you see?
No. Do you know what, Sam? I thought about you, but I also thought I'm going to try and use my head and I'm going to try and be sensible here. And I mean, other than a lack of Arsenal, I'm happy with it. I've gone for Maguire because I couldn't afford Dalot in defence. Maguire, Porro and Byrne were the three defenders I started. I put Kyle Walker on the bench, though. 8 points on the bench from him. That was an error. My midfield is Palmer. I captained him too. Son, Gordon, Fernandez, Foden. I've got Haaland coming in for Foden. So it's good, 5 points from him, but I would have preferred Walker's 8 points. And then my forward, Isak. And I did it. I brought Jackson in.
Okay.
That is brave.
Yeah, but when he scored against Villa, I sent Ian a text because Ian and I were both on wildcard and we had very similar teams, but he went for Hoyland. I texted him, was like, yes. And I was like, oh, VAR. And he was like, as if that was ever going to be a goal, Kelly. I was like, yeah, that might be maybe that will be the high point of owning Jackson. I don't know, but I got the fear.
I hope not for your sake.
Jackson is another Darwin, to be fair, I think when you own him, there's that feeling when you watch him and he's in your team to like, oh my God, what is he going to do? Is he going to miss? Is he going to score? It would be like that.
He'll be great in challenge this week though, because you get 2 points for every shot. So get him in challenge. Perfect.
I got the real fear because I think I saw a lot of other people wildcarding and a lot of people were going with those three as the forwards. I had Mateta in there for a while, Sam. Mateta was, if you did watch the fantasy show last week, Sam had to pick her kind of first priority in each position. And Mateta was your third forward, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I did have him to enable. I couldn't keep Watkins, something else that stitched me up massively. Normally I'm very hot on prices of players and up and down, but obviously this year I've been a little bit busier, particularly at bedtime, so I haven't been checking price rises overnight as I used to. So my team value wasn't as good, which meant that I had to sacrifice basically a Watkins for a Jackson. That was the difference. And yeah, I don't think that's going to be
so Havertz would have come in for who when you said you really
Bruno. And I'm still, I went for the extra game. And it's again being blinded by the doubles, isn't it, watching Arsenal in that game, and they've got Bournemouth this weekend.
Yeah, but Bruno's been on really good form, though. Yeah, exactly, so I get it.
Yeah, like, me too.
I get it as well. I get why I made the decision, but I still, it's that whole head versus heart thing, isn't it? And we all have it as FPL managers. Like, I've got the midfield, the template midfield, if you like, that everyone else has got. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Still got a few players to play tonight.
Remember,
five
it's not just for one game week, the World
It's not
card.
For many, though,
it's
is
like
it, Jules?
When... It's not just for Christmas.
Yeah, but I only played it in 35, so it's only for four
True.
Game weeks.
But it's more than 1 week, you know.
So I've still got five players to play again. Son and Poro for Spurs. Palmer is my captain. Jackson, please score. And Petrovic for Chelsea. And yes, I sold Bukayo Saka. So just to tell you where we are when we're playing against each other, of course, this is going to be live maths once again. Oh gosh, my eyesight is as bad as my FPL rank at the moment. Jules is on 2,268. I'm a whole 102 points behind him. This wild card needs to do really well to catch that up. Ian is 25 points behind me and Sam is 5 points behind Ian. So 30 points behind me. I could still end up bottom of this league, which is quite scary. This wild card, it's going to be, I genuinely think the Premier League title could be decided by what Arsenal and Man City do in our league. Could be decided by Arsenal, Sam, because you've still got Saka and double Arsenal defence, haven't you?
You mean the bottom of our league? That's what you mean?
Yes, sorry, the bottom of our league, yeah.
No, yes.
Yeah, relegation.
Basement battle, didn't I call it? Am I including myself in the basement battle now? It sounds like I am, doesn't it?
Sounds like you are, yeah. It's going to be between Arsenal and Man United, isn't it? Because you've got the Man United players. I don't have any of them.
And I know which team I'd rather have. Arsenal.
Yeah. Right now, I'd rather be invested in Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it in game week 37 when there's a double. Anyway, we'll talk about that when it comes to the game week 37 preview pod. The FPL 4 mini league then. Hjalmar's 67 points means he is two places ahead of our previous leader, Stefan. Both managers have captain Palmer. There's going to be massive swings tonight, I think. However, Hjalmar has four players left to play in game week 36. Stefan has just two. Hjalmar's are Petrovic, Porro, Son and Palmer. Stefan has Palmer and Son. Both managers had Foden. Hjalmar has João Pedro replacing him. Not so great. Stefan had Muniz, so advantage to Stefan in terms of that. These two are now 33 and 35 points ahead of Ben Tinker, I like that name, who sits in third place. Anyway, enough of that. We need to look forward, even though we still have that one game to come tonight. It's a very tight turnaround between Thursday evening's fixture because we also have a 6:30 deadline on Friday evening. Sam, as an FPL manager, do you love that or do you hate that you don't have as long? I hate it.
Do you?
I love it.
Or
love
equally
it.
Though, you know what a warrior I am. So actually maybe it's better that I don't spend
the less
that
time,
extra.
Yeah, less time for you to think, the better, I guess. So early deadline is good.
And also when you're in mini leagues that are really tight, a Friday night deadline might just catch a few people out. So as long as you're on the ball, it gives you a bit of an advantage potentially.
It always catches Max, mile the half out, always. Yeah. And like, my favourite thing to do
you should remind
is to text him.
That's so bad.
6:32, I like going to him. Did you change your
team?
Why didn't you tell him? Why would I? No, I will this season because he's miles behind me, so it's fine. He's not going to catch me. Strategy. Let's chat a little bit of strategy then, because we've all set our strategy a few weeks ago. We know what we're going to do. We're all bench boosting in 37. Is that right, Sandals?
Yeah, I agree.
So am I. So just a few stats for you. There are over 10.8 million teams in the game so far at the Game Week 35 deadline. 3.8 million managers have played their second wild card. 4.7 million have played their free hit. 5 million have used their triple captain. And just 2.7 million have played their bench boost. So I get the feeling there's going to be a lot of bench boosts in 37. And also 38 is often quite popular for chip usage as well. However, what blows my mind is the amount of managers, Sam, that still have to wildcard. When are these managers going to do it? Or when should they do it?
Should I blow your mind a little bit more, Kelly? There's still,
it doesn't take much.
There's still 3.7 million managers that haven't used any of these four chips.
Do you think there's a few managers there that aren't playing?
Surely,
Yeah, of course. But
because even I'm the queen of leaving it late, but even I don't leave it that late.
No, but there and a lot of these will be managers that have kind of given up or fallen by the wayside for whatever reason. But if you are still playing and you haven't used any of your chips, you've got a problem now because you've only got 3 weeks to go. You can't use all of them anymore because you have to play them in individual weeks. So it will be interesting to see what people do in the coming weeks. I think if you are one of those people that still have your wild card, playing it now ahead of game week 36 is realistically the only option that you have because you don't want to be playing it going into game week 37, especially if you have another chip that you've got left, because the bench boost or the triple cap feels much more sensible to use in that double.
Jules, if you still had your bench boost or your triple cap, say you could pick any chip to use in 37, would you maybe be tempted by the triple captain in 37 instead?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We've said, I think the last time a lot of the triple captain chips was played was when Haaland had a double a few months ago, quite at the start of the season, towards the earlier in the season, I think after the Club World Cup, maybe. And we always said they will have another one later on, City. So it's either you play then, and if I remember well, it was not very successful, or you wait a little bit longer. But obviously, eventually, at some point, City will have another double where if you want to play on Haaland, the triple captaincy, then this would be perfect. And this is it now, really. They will have Fulham away and Spurs away. Two away games. But with City, I don't think away games is an issue. So this is it, really. I would not play on anybody else than Haaland to start with. I just don't think right now, even if you look for Arsenal, they don't have another double game week. For all the other ones with double game weeks, so United, Chelsea, Spurs, even there, I'm not really sure there's somebody better than Haaland. So this is it. So maybe the triple captain, had I not played it before already on Haaland, I would play him on 37. But really, I think that's it.
Isak, surely a shout for the triple cap, or maybe even Palmer.
Palmer, I was going to say. I've heard a few people say about Palmer.
Forrest and Brighton both away.
Palmer
doesn't score away.
No,
that's
you know,
true.
We even saw that in this double game week for Chelsea. So yeah, maybe Isak. But again, you
not
bet against Haaland.
Either.
And you, yeah, true. Like Gordon, by the way. So Gordon creates even less for Isak when they go away compared to St. James's Park. And then you would bet against somebody doing better than Haaland over a double game week, which I'm not really sure I'd be ready to do.
Okay, so we're all quite happy to be bench boosting in 37 then, I'm guessing. Injuries then, because it does feel like there was a lot of injuries in game week 35. Van Heek was very popular on the wild card. He was ruled out after the deadline, always painful. Cher, Edison. Edison, by the way, I had in one of the two wildcard drafts that I changed at the very last minute. So for once, the FPL gods shining down on me. That said, I think it opens up a very interesting third spot at Manchester City. Martinez, Ait Nouri and Werner all went off injured. Plus, of course, Gusto, Eze and Dominic Calvert-Lewin all missed game week 35. And that's just some of the key players in terms of FPL. Also, Jota, Lascelles, so many flags. At this point, Jules, how many have you got? What are you thinking?
Lascelles is obviously out. We knew that. We've known that for a long time. Gusto is the one that I find really frustrating in a way because we're not really sure exactly. The club has said that he's just following his rehabilitation. I'm not sure what his rehab is. It's a knee injury, but is he a bad one? Is he just rehab as in a bit of physio work and then he should be able to maybe play for the double in 37? Or is he out out completely until the end of the season. So I know Gusto is red flagged, but we're not really sure exactly what the issue is here. So that's the one for me that is a bit worrying, because I also kept him because of the double game week 9, 35 that he would miss, and obviously in 37. So he will have to be replaced. The other one is Ait Nouri, which is a yellow. I think he should be fine for game week 36.
And but do you want him, Jules? Like, he doesn't have any doubles.
No, he doesn't. But, you know, you can bench him even if you bench boost. He's guaranteed to start if he's fit. With Wolves, they've had good performances where he returned well. I think last week or the week before, we mentioned his stats. They were pretty good still. So it's okay. I don't think I will have too many double game weekers in 37 anyway. So it wouldn't be too bad if Nouri is there playing. I will still take it.
The one thing I would say, the reason I didn't keep him, I wanted him for Luton, but I mean, it didn't work out anyway. The three remaining fixtures, Manchester City away, Crystal Palace at home in between, not a bad fixture, though they're in really good form, and then Liverpool away. Sam, for me, he's an obvious get rid. Equally, he's quite nice, I suppose, in game week 37. What about some of the rest of the players? You mentioned already that you're probably going to have to get rid of Cher, who you've just put in.
Well, I'm going to keep him for now. I'm not going to panic on him until we get news from Eddie Howe, who probably won't tell us the truth anyway, because he likes to keep his cards close to his chest.
And Gary O'Neill's picked up on that trait as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, a few of them lately.
It's getting difficult lately, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bring on Ange, who tells us the exact truth. Ben Davis is out for the rest of the season. Timo Werner out for the rest of the season. Yes,
it's because he used to play FPL. He gets it.
You see? That's what we all need. We need all of this from all of the Premier League managers. So I've got three flags on my defenders in Shah, Gusto and Ait Nouri. I think probably what I'm going to do, because Shah and Gusto have the double game week in game week 37, I'll probably give them another week to just recover and see whether I can have them back for that one. Ait Nouri is the obvious transfer out for me, I think, this time around. And given I don't have a Manchester United defender and I have loads of money in the bank from selling Salah, I might just do Ait Nouri to a Manchester United asset, whether that be Dalot or whether that be Harry Maguire. It kind of feels sensible to make that change. Although I do quite like owning Ait Nouri and I do quite fancy him to do all right against Crystal Palace in the double, but going for the double of Manchester United in 37 kind of makes sense, I think.
So you would probably say if your player is flagged but has a double, maybe if you can hold it for now to see if they're back fit for the double.
I think so, because you've kind of set them up to have them there for game week 37 in the bench boost. Like, if it means that I end up having to make another transfer to deal with one of Gusto or Shaw or even both of them going into 37, then so be it. But at least I give myself the opportunity to not have to take, having taken a -4 last week because I was worried about Livramento for the double, I don't want to keep second guessing what might happen with those players. So we've got another week before the big game week. So let's see what happens for 36 and go from there.
And I guess keeper wise, it only makes sense to make a change if you don't have a second playing goalkeeper or if you're playing your bench boost. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah. And actually the messaging around Edison has been quite confusing, because at the end of the game, Pep was talking about how it looked quite serious. And then there's other rumours circulating that he'll be back in training. So it's very difficult to know. I think there were a lot of managers that wildcarded last week and bought in Edison, who were then thinking, oh, maybe I'll just go to Ortega instead, who, of course, at 3.7 million is a lovely cheap FPL option. But with the uncertainty there as to who's going to play in goal for Man City between now and the end of the season, I think you have to kind of stay away from that. So unless you've got a bench boost in 37, and even then, I would just wait it out and make sure that your goalkeeper is definitely not going to play before you make any changes, because the upside for goalkeepers is quite small, unless it's in a double game week where they've got the potential for a couple of clean sheets.
Yes, Ortega could become a very nice Manchester City option. And if we do get news that Edison is going to be out, I'm sure he will be very, very popular, particularly for those managers who only have two Manchester City assets as it stands. Because, of course, Pep Guardiola's side do double in game week 37. So let's take a little bit more of a look in more depth at City. Because as it stands, Haaland is owned by almost 62% of managers. Foden owned by almost 38% of managers. They are the two most popular picks from the blue side of Manchester. But given the fact they have a double game week in 37, Jules, do we need to be trebling up on them?
I think it's a must indeed, because we're so close to the end of the season as well that those points will matter. And if there's, again, one team that you would bet on to do well, even if they are, and we've said it already, two away games, Fulham first and then Spurs, it's City. I think if you don't treble on City now, I mean, do it because this is it. This is the end of the season. A lot of people will. Foden and Haaland are must-have. And then you pick who your third one is, whether you go for an attacking player, for a defensive player. There's a lot of really good options like Walker that you already have, Kels, like Vardiol that I probably will bring in because he's been on good form. And it seems that now he's the starter all the time for Pep. But you could also go for Rodri, who's been outstanding, for KDB if you have the money. Anything, really. But I think you need three. This is the time to do it. And because of the title race as well, you know that City will have to deliver. They will have to be at their best. They can't take anything for granted. They can't take their eyes off the ball. All of that would be very true when they go away at Fulham and away at Spurs. So maybe because of the Spurs attacking threats, if you don't want to go for a City defender, that makes sense because I think Spurs will create chances and will probably score. But I think you pick your third player, Foden, Haaland for sure, and then decide who the best third is for your team.
Yeah, defensively, I really wanted Manchester City defensive cover, Sam. I went for Walker because when I bought him, he was 5.3 million. I did think of Guardiola, but I was a bit worried about his starts. Of course, he then goes and scores and clearly he's going to start every game now. So I probably could have saved a bit of money on him. I'm very happy to have Walker, but who would you say is maybe the best option? Do you agree with Jules? Because I'm actually inclined to for once.
Yeah, I think I do. I was quite torn, and Lee and I had a conversation last week because he was wildcarding like you were, and I was like, you have to have a Man City defender, I think, in your wildcard. And he was kind of backwards and forwards between the two and ended up plumping for Walker like you did. And I get that because of that game, I think, on Thursday evening against Brighton, Walker was so impressive with his couple of assists that he got. And it made sense, I think, to have him if you were wildcarding. If you haven't got the money or you want to use the money elsewhere, then going for Vardiol instead absolutely is a good option. I think they're both going to play every game till the end of the season, so it's just going to be a budget thing really with the two of them as to which one you go to. And I agree with what Jules says. I don't necessarily think there's a clean sheet in there against Spurs, but there should be plenty of other clean sheets between now and the end of the season for Man City as they try and wrap up another title. So investing in them the treble up is a good idea, and having a defender, I do wonder, and I am kind of contemplating on whether it's better though to go with Haaland, Foden and KDB.
Yeah, but you need
and
the money.
It's so hard all to do that, attack. I tried to do that on my wild card.
But they have the money.
I tried to do it and couldn't, but that's the difference in our team value, Sam. So a manager like you that's got probably a team value of nearer 105 million, would I guess?
Yeah, so it's 105.8, my team value still.
Oh, that's really good, by the way.
Can you remind us exactly how you find your team value and what does it mean?
Sorry, he can show off and he can be as high in the world as he wants.
Top 5K
but that
in
just
the world.
Shows.
My team is worth 200 million, by the way.
Team value is how much your players are worth, so how much you've gained in value by owning them. So if you're in the app, if you click on your team name right at the top above where your game week scores are, it takes you into the overview of your team with your overall points and where you are, etc., and how many chips you've got left. But it also tells you what your team value is and how much money you've got in the bank so you can work it out.
Jules, it doesn't really matter as much for you at this stage of the season because you've wildcarded,
yes,
your team's set. But like when I did wildcard last week, I just needed, like as I said before, my team value wasn't as high as normally it would be at this point in the season. So where the players that have been really popular have gone up in value, so I wanted to bring Watkins back, but because he'd gone up so much and my team, yes, value hadn't, I couldn't afford him. So it can be pretty frustrating at times and it is worth monitoring earlier in the season, but also it's tough because if you move early with a transfer and then the player gets ruled out, it's that whole balance, isn't it, Sam? It's something that I know you and I say me in my former life, it feels like I'm not as good at it now. But I know you are very, very good at checking. If you know you're thinking of bringing a player in and you see that there's a lot of transfers in for them, it's better to bring them in early before the price goes up.
It's a real fine balance because, of course, if they've got another game to play in midweek, if, you know, when players are involved in the Champions League or when there's a midweek round of fixtures, like in a double game week, it's hard to know whether the right thing to do is to bring them in early ahead of a match and risk an injury or whether you hold it out. And you have to kind of make a decision based upon how much money you have to spend, whether it's worth going early to save yourself 0.1 or to stop yourself losing 0.1 or if you've got the budget to allow it to happen, then sometimes it's worth riding it through. But yeah, I do take the price rises and falls quite seriously because it can make such a difference, particularly in the early part of the season. If you can get your team value up by this point in the season, it means that you've got so much more budget to play with to be able to afford players like having the triple up of the Man City attack, which maybe you can't do if you haven't caught those price rises earlier on.
Okay, so let's go back to the City point that we were making then. So we all agree we need to triple up. Yeah. We're all looking at a City defender. Well, I've already got the triple up. I've gone Foden, Haaland and City defender. I've mainly gone Foden and Haaland, by the way, as well, to cover off what everyone else has because you don't want to miss out on the points. Equally, it would have been quite nice not to have had Foden last week. If, Jules, you could afford to go KDB over a City defender, would you do that instead?
So you know my dilemma with Foden and KDB, right? We've mentioned it enough
just recap,
on the show.
Just in case people
just don't. I just don't think that when they play together, you'll get the best out of both of them, if you see what I mean. So KDB could have a great game because he would play as a 10, very central, and Foden will have to play wider on the right or on the left, where you take a lot of things away from Foden's game and what has made Foden so good this season. And often it happens that they both perform okay. Of course, they are world-class players. But I do think that this could potentially be a little issue. And at times, we've even seen KDB starting and Foden being rested on the bench, the other way around as well. So I don't think he's as straightforward as saying the two are amazing. Let's bring him in. Let's bring them both in the team. However, they are still so good that they can do anything for the next three games or four games that they have left now this season. But I just would be a little bit wary of the fact that when KDB starts, that means Foden plays wide. And of course, he can still have an impact on the game, but he's still not as good as when he's central, where we've seen him playing so, so well this season. So yeah, if you have the money and you feel like KDB, Foden and Haaland is your preferred treble, go for it. Personally, I'm not sure I'll bring KDB and Foden, even if I had the money.
Who would you go for then, Jules? If money wasn't an object, would you say that KDB is actually the better option over Foden at the moment?
So I know it's hard to believe in a way because of the season that Foden is having. I still think that KDB will always start central ahead of Foden, who will always then start wide if KDB starts. So I'll go for KDB. The only reason I got Foden in is because I didn't have enough money for KDB. But otherwise, I would have gone for KDB. And I know it sounds strange now because of the season that Foden is having, the best of his life. But I still think, and especially now in the money time where City are going to be on it, but a lot of things would go through KDB because he's your most central player. He will make things happen. I'm just not sure exactly what kind of returns we're going to get from Foden. It could be great and he can score in every single game, or KDB could be the one and Foden a little bit more in the shadow.
Sam, is KDB the better option at the moment?
It's so hard, this one, because early on in the season, when KDB came back from injury, if you remember, I went for KDB as a differential over Foden, and it went really badly because that was at the point where Foden went absolutely off and was just so good, and every week it was really punishing. And so going into this part of the season, I mean, this is the first time I've owned Foden all season and he was ill and didn't play, which was wonderful, having taken a -4 for him. But I don't know, it's difficult. In order to have KDB and Foden, which is actually what I'd like to do, I would have to sell Saka or Son. And I can't sell Son, given that he's got a double game week in 37. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't really want to sell Saka at the moment. Like, I don't know. There's the... Last week, I was pondering on selling Saka because there's no double to come till the end of the season. But then the performance against Spurs was such that I don't feel like I want to get rid of him going into the final few weeks, particularly now the title race is going to go down to the wire. So I think I'll end up going for a defender instead. I still think I'd plump for Foden though over KDB if it had to be a straight choice.
Interesting. It's going to be some people that will probably benefit from going maybe KDB over Foden. We'll find out. As for Haaland, Jules, do we have to have him?
Yeah, we do. I know he was on the bench and it could have looked a bit frustrating for people who owned him, a lot of us. He came on, second touch, goal. It was as simple as that. I mean, there was a feeling when he came on, he looked so hungry, I thought, that he was going to do something. So I was never really that worried or never really panicked because he looked on it. And maybe he just needed a bit of a rest and maybe starting him on the bench was not a bad idea from Pep in the end. But now he's going to play every game. He's going to start, I would think, for the two doubles now that there's no more Champions League as well for City. So, yeah, you can't finish the season without Haaland.
Agree, Sam?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to finish the season without Haaland.
No, neither would I. It'd be scary as heck, wouldn't it?
Would, yeah.
Maybe there will be managers who will plump for Alvarez instead. I don't know. And just quickly, any other Man City players that you would look at, or are they the main ones?
No, I think they're the main ones. I don't think, you know, if you've got real budget issues, then you can look at somebody like Rodri, who always seems to do well in a double game week, as Jules learnt from the last time Man City had a double game week.
What a touch that was. Pure planning and vision and talent.
Or just copying what I suggested.
No, not at all.
Maybe. But yeah, I think I'd I would say that one defender, one midfielder and a forward from Man City is the way to go. Probably.
It's the probably after. It's basically what we're saying is triple up on City in general. And probably whoever you pick is going to get some points. They're not in the Champions League. They need to win the title, right, Jules?
Yeah, exactly. It's as simple as that.
Simple. Differential of the week then. Not so simple. Last week, okay, didn't go quite so well, did it really? Jules, do you want to reflect on how yours went?
I think Sam should go first, considering the car crash he had.
Well, I wouldn't say yours was a huge success.
Well, it's still better than hers.
I do feel like the fling I had with Timo Werner ended up with him getting injured and being out for the rest of the season. So that wasn't such a great outcome, was it? Yeah, just one point so for him. Subbed on 31 minutes.
Okay. 1.31 minutes.
Sorry, Timo, I'm really sorry.
Jules, what about yours?
Jinx of Sam. Rasmus Højlund. I thought it was a good shot, I think.
And was it?
Ian put him in his wildcard team. So I think there's a few people who did as well.
If I'm not being funny, Jules, I went for Jackson and Ian hammered me. He went for Højlund and I was a bit like, I don't think either's a great pick, is it? We've been blinded by doubles. I think Højlund's probably better, to be fair, actually.
And I thought he looked sharper, again, gone back to a really good level and scored the week before. But not last week. So just the 2 points, I think, for him. And that's it.
Yep. Can I just say that I am winning now in the pod?
Oh, Jules, that must hurt.
What? Well, about then. I had like a million points last week with whoever I picked.
I had a million more because I had Mateta, remember?
Oh, yeah. True. Okay.
So yeah, so you're on 100, you're on 158. I'm on 170.
So 12
okay,
points.
Then. That's enough. We can't look backwards. Pep Guardiola looks at the next game when he's trying to win titles. Doesn't look back, Sam. Who are you going for this week?
Jules, have you got two?
No.
No to Jules first this week then.
Okay.
Go on then, Jules.
I'm sure you'll have him.
Go on.
So my differential, I've mentioned him already, is Josko Gvardiol at Manchester City.
That's definitely someone that Sam had because she rolled her eyes.
No, I don't
have it. Not? Okay.
No.
No, she's just gutted that. She knows my pick is already better than whatever
Jules
pick she's going to
come in. I also realise there's a bit of a trend. You often pick a player that scored last week.
That is not true. Because Gvardiol has been in great form, not just last week, but he scored against Luton, he scored against Real Madrid in the Champions League as well. And now, as we said earlier, he secured his starting place in this team, which was not always guaranteed before. It would cost you 5 million. He's owned by 7.1% of the managers. His last three Premier League matches, the return had been great, 15 points, 6 and 12. So if you believe in the City defence to go away at Fulham and away at Spurs and be solid and be good, then Gvardiol is your man.
Good case. And we'd already spoken about him before, so we'd probably already tempted people to bring him in. Go on, Sam. Who have you got? You've had two, haven't you? And you didn't know which one to now pick because you kind of almost hope, I think, half the time that Jules picks one, so you then have to go with your other.
Well, so I came on this pod this morning before you two turned up. I came on the pod and I was like, I've only got one. I think I better have another one just in case because I've got an Arsenal player as my differential. And I was like, Jules will surely go for him. So I'll pick somebody else. So I had Morgan Gibbs-White as my backup because his underlying stats are great and he's playing Sheffield United this week. But I've got Kai Havertz as my diff this week. And before you moan, Jules, I haven't had him yet this season, so it's fine.
But didn't I pick him like 2 weeks ago or something?
Like 4 weeks ago.
We can't pick him. This is not true.
No, because just getting to the end of the season. Kelly.
Referee.
It's fine,
God,
right?
Surely not.
It's like, fine.
Yesterday
it's fine.
I picked him.
See,
oh my God.
Not yesterday. It was like 4 weeks ago, Jules. Back to back double digit.
I'm not sure it's totally fine, but it's
fine.
Possible.
Totally fine. Three in the last 5 weeks. You had the first one because I checked when the last time you had him was. He's also the third most informed player in the game right now, and Bruno Fernandes and Palmer have better form than he does in the last three matches. He's also top for XG across the players owned by under 10% of the game over the course of the last four game weeks. And he was really impressive against Spurs, to be fair. I was like, I wish I owned you as well as owning Saka. And in those last four game weeks, only five players in the game have scored more points than Kai Havertz. So nice home fixture. 7.8% owned. I am baffled that he's still
I can't believe that he's... But it's probably people like me. It's the fact that those midfield slots are so precious. And for some reason, this form isn't just 2 weeks now. It's quite a few weeks. We just don't seem to... It's the doubles, isn't it? I think it must be the doubles.
It is the doubles. And, you know, actually, Havertz's ownership dropped quite dramatically last week. And that was people on wildcard getting rid of Saka and Havertz. And it was like, okay, I get it, because we've got two sets of double game weeks. They were going for players like Son, who it makes sense, you know, with an extra two fixtures in there. But Arsenal are in such good form right now and have a really good opportunity to win the league this year. So getting off of them actually in many ways doesn't make sense. It's that kind of form versus fixture thing that we all balance out all the time. So ideally what you want is someone who's in good form with good fixtures, which Havertz has. He just doesn't have the extra fixture. Yeah. But, you know, three games is still a lot of time for good returns.
I'm scared of not owning him against Bournemouth this weekend. Really scared. More scared now than not having Saka, which is bonkers really in itself. Captaincy them. I reckon an Arsenal midfield is probably not a bad captaincy shout if you've got one. Jules, who are you going for?
I don't know, because City are home to Wolves. Is very tempting as well at this stage of the season in the battle for the title as well. So I might go for Haaland. Just I know it's boring, but just purely because I think they could roll them over. And then
you have to rank protect as well, Jules. Now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because as you know, I'm in the top five in the world. in the whole world.
Didn't know that.
For the listeners' purposes, Jules then did like a big circle with his arms, just so we clarified how big the world was.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like from this is from every country in the whole world.
Now.
Yeah, it's like not just you know. Every country in the world. So yeah, you're right. Protect my really high rank, to be honest.
Sam, you're doing the opposite. You're chasing still. So will you go for an Arsenal mid?
Maybe. So the last couple of weeks, this has been my new strategy the last couple of weeks. I should have done it with Mateta the week before and I learnt my lesson, which is why this week, as I said to you when we were on the fantasy show together on Friday, I was really tempted to go Sun and did that this week because you have to sometimes play a bit of a risky game if you want to gain rank. And I have to try and get ahead of you, Kelly. And I, in my head, you and Ian were going to captain Palmer. And I was like, if I go Sun, that potentially gives me an opportunity.
Can
to
I just show, by the way,
points.
That you came out of my head because I knew you were captaining Son. And if I was still trying to block you, I would have captained Son as well. But I decided to be mature and go with my gut, which was Palmer. I regret that now.
Yeah, I was so struggling when we were in the studio together on Friday, wasn't I? When you came to me on captains and I was like, I don't know what to do. And the other two, the Chelsea fans on the Zoom with us were like, oh, I'm going Palmer. But anyway, back to this week. I think for me, Foden is a potential option as captain. It's a differential City pick. Saka is definitely in contention. Cole Palmer is in contention
Havertz?
As well, depending upon what he does. I don't have Havertz, but if I did,
I
might be inclined to put him there. And Cole Palmer is up there, depending upon obviously what happens in the Spurs game this evening, because injuries and all of that kind of stuff can play out. But I am tempted to move away from Haaland simply because it might be a differential push that gets me a few points back on you, Kel.
Hold on a sec. So from weeks of Sam being in my head, I am in Sam's head.
It's close now. 3 weeks to go, 30 points. 10 points a week.
Jules, this is maybe the highlight of my FPL career because Sam's actually really good at FPL. I'm not really that good. And she's chasing me. This is great. Even if I don't finish above her now, this is a moment in time.
From my, rooftop ranking,
with the world in
looking
his hands.
Down on you has been really fun, to be fair. And now that you're in Sam's head is amazing, to be fair. So, but I'm telling you, neither of you can finish bottom of our mini league. It has to be Ian, otherwise I would never let you off.
Okay, well, that's where we'll leave it, with me firmly in Sam's head, just where I like it. Sam, you're still in my head. I'm still trying to block you. And I'll be listening back to the pod to make sure I try and cover off all of your decisions. Have a good game week, guys. Not you, though, Sam. The FPL pod mini league code, a reminder, is IV3WLK. I'm only joking. Your deadline, as I said earlier, for game week 36, do not miss it. 6:30 p.m. ahead of Luton versus Everton on Friday night. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday. Going to have two guests with me in the studio, Praz and Sinaldo, making his debut after he is over in the UK. Lee and Harry will then be back on Tuesday with Off the Bench to review game week 36. And we'll, as always, be back on Thursday to get ready for the final double game week of the season, game week 37. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.